Hey there, everybody. This is Will Pruitt here with the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast for Friday, December 9th, 2011. We're going to be talking about the Thursday, December 8th broadcast of TNA Impact Wrestling today. And before we get started, I just want to thank you all for joining me and talk to you a little bit about the ProWrestling.net members site. This is an audio review that I'm doing as a special all-access version, but we also do these weekly for members, and we do reviews on every show. You've got your TNA, your WWE SmackDown, and your Raw audio reviews, plus every pay-per-view. On top of that, you also get first-run news and the flagship audio show, .NET Weekly. Yesterday, Jason Powell and Chris Shore recorded a very long update as the .NET Weekly show, including exclusive first run. You're not going to find it anywhere. Things that no one's heard before yet about the WWE Network. Some really great stuff in there. They went into detail about what the network is, what people within WWE are saying about it, and also talking about the rumors that it could actually change WWE's current pay-per-view business. This audio update itself is a must-listen. Plus, you've got member-exclusive interviews, like the interview that Sean Daivari just did with Jason Powell for about 2 hours, talking about his career. Some great stuff in that one. A great interview with Gregory Helms, Michelle Dighton, and Jeremiah Riggs from Tough Enough, with the Michelle Dighton one especially. Some exclusive stuff that hasn't come out about Tough Enough anywhere else as well. Plus, you've got member first run news and also the .NET Countdown show with myself and Jake Barnett, which I think you all access folk got a sample of last week and got some really good feedback on that show. And if you're not on the .NET site right now and you just want to go and check out the normal news, the ad-based site, it's at ProWrestling.net. And if you want to upgrade, become a member, ad-free access to the site, .NET Members Forum, all of our audio, it's a mere $7.50 a month. Not a whole lot. Now, if you're thinking it's the holidays and maybe the wife or husband doesn't know what to get you and they're wondering about something a little bigger, we also offer an annual option. You're going to get a discounted rate. So it's as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option. If you just want to try it out for a month, go ahead, pay that $7.50. But if you know that .NET is where your heart is, go ahead and pay that annual option. As I say often, I was a paid and very happy member before I started writing and working for the site. So I am a strong believer in the product we provide. I know some of our other staffers, once again, members of the site before they wrote for it. So we all enjoy the product, and I hope you guys enjoy this podcast as we get into TNA Impact Wrestling. And let me tell you that there was a lot to like about this show, which surprised me because I haven't been a big fan of Impact for the last couple weeks, but this one, I thought they had some really good stuff. And the one most egregious error about Impact, which to me has been the treatment of women in the past weeks, not there, just completely absent. So let's get into it from the top, and we'll highlight those segments that were just absolutely awesome as we go through. I'm thinking of one in particular that stole the show for me, and really, it was a career maker in the career of one man. How's that for a hook, right, guys? So the show opened with a little bit of a music video. Then we got Sting coming to the ring, and I don't know that I like Impact opening with Sting coming to the ring. Does he provide star power? Well, yes. Yes, he does. On the other side of things, he also pretty much guarantees that you're going to get a verbal segment. And I don't know that I'm a big fan of that. I do have to commend Sting a little bit. His promo work, not the best. I mean, he's never been a guy that's been known for cutting good promos. And in this role as, you know, new GM, general manager, whatever you want to call him, in his current role on Impact, he's cutting some damn good promos. And I've got to give credit where credit's due, and that credit goes to Sting for stepping it up promo-wise. So That's always a plus. But he talked about, you know, called out Bobby Roode, and off the chain, Bobby Roode came on out. What does that mean? I am convinced we'll never find out. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, I enjoy the Twitter account of @TNAcreative. Also, if you want to follow me, it's @itswilltime. But I enjoy that, and I retweet a lot of their stuff. They had a funny one last night that said, judging by last week's video packages, the chain that Bobby Roode is off of actually is his wife. So we got Bobby Roode out there, and we got Dixie Carter out there. And Sting guaranteed that nothing would happen to Dixie while he was around. Sting ran down Roode for assaulting Carter and demanded an apology. Roode resisted, but then he gave a really insincere apology. You know, I'm sorry for being so awesome, basically. and then spat in the face of Dixie Carter. Interesting. Really interesting stuff there. And this, you know, was our opening segment. Sting walked towards Rude, and Rude ran to the back. Now, like and don't like about this segment, there were things. One, I don't think this is the way to get Bobby Roode heat, and their number one goal as a company right now needs to be to get heat on Bobby Roode. Yeah, James Storm, built him up as your number one babyface, but he's there. Verbally, what he does is amazing. James Storm has arrived into that zone. But with Bobby Roode, you really need to work on him. Your company needs to get behind him, push him as that heel and find his character, find where he settles in. I think they're off to a good start, but not a great one. You know, the leader of the shellfish generation. That's going to go really well. Yeah, damn those shellfish. No, but the leader of the selfish generation, all of that stuff. I like those catchphrases, but I think they need to come from a more organic place inside of Bobby Roode. So I like that. I don't like putting him in an angle with Dixie Carter. I really don't think that's how you get him heat. Fans don't care that much about Dixie Carter. Fans really don't care about Dixie Carter. I don't care about Dixie Carter and seeing her on TV. So I think you put him in an angle, not with Dixie, but with someone else. Put him in an angle with the number one babyface. I think his angle with AJ Styles is fine right now. Without the Dixie Carter involvement, I think that muddles things up a little bit. So I didn't like that. Again, Sting's promos have been good, but I don't like him being this involved either, because it's coming down to Rude versus Sting, which would be a really nice offshoot feud after Rude loses the title at some point. But I don't know that we're ready to start building to that so much yet. So that's what we got. We came back from break and got Abyss versus Samoa Joe. This one ended with Abyss beating Samoa Joe in 7:22. And this one, most of it was in a commercial, so we came back, saw these two come out, and went to commercial again. We came back, Joe's in control, but Immortal comes out. And Bully Ray and Scott Steiner, man, they know that they need Abyss on their team, so they're going to do what it takes to get him on their side. And that means hitting Samoa Joe, obviously. So they go after Joe, Abyss chokeslams Joe, gets the win. But then hits Scott Steiner with the black hole slam, and Bully Ray runs away. So, Abyss is friend of no one. Yeah, not a fan of the monster character. I'm not a fan of Joe jobbing at any point, really. There's no reason to job him out here. But Joe is enhancement talent at this point in TNA. He means nothing. You know, Abyss doesn't mean anything either, but Abyss is someone that they want to mean something, where Joe, I guess to them, was too much of a head case on top to really let him get over. So then backstage, we saw Karen Jarrett with Madison Rayne and Gail Kim. She talked about how Madison Rayne had to take on Mickey James tonight and told Madison that she needs to get it done where ODB didn't last week, and Madison was all about it. And then we got Gail Kim being informed that she had a match tonight, even though she was promised a night off, but to be fair, she had to have a match, and then she was told that her match tonight would be against Tracy Brooks, who is not a wrestler, but just a large pair of breasts. A large, disgusting pair of breasts, by the way. I wouldn't want those. Like, what are you? There's just so much. It's overload, people. Anyways, then backstage, Gunner came up to Sting. Gunner! And begged Sting for another match against Garrett Bischoff. Man, everyone I like is in this segment. It's not even true. No one I like really is in this segment. Sting agreed, but said that no Flair, no Bischoff would be allowed at ringside. So Gunner's going to have to wrestle for himself. Then D-Von and Pope came to the ring. This again, this was an odd segment. I'm just going to run it down. Not going to read you anything, but just run it down kind of off the top of my head. So D-Von, they call Crimson and Matt Morgan to the ring. D-Von talks about his world as a tag team wrestler. The fact that, you know, he's a 23-time tag champ. He talks about beating teams like Motor City Machine Guns, Beer Money, the Hardys, and on, and talks about how he has been he was part of the best tag team of all time. And then talks about Crimson and Matt Morgan, and he says, you know, on Sunday, I'm going to get those titles. Oh, my brother, testify. his music hits. Boom. Pulp picks up the mic. D-Von cut a really good promo. But on top of D-Von's promo, Pulp got a mic. And Pulp says, oh, hold, cut the music, cut the music. And goes on to talk about how D-Von and the Pulp are going to beat those two honkies. And he did use the term honky. Yeah, that's really okay. And, you know, went on and on. And this ended in up with a D-Von and the Pope getting beat down by Crimson and Matt Morgan. But who would run up a D-Von's Sons? Yes, D-Von's Sons, the tag team sweeping the nation. Terrence and Terrell D-Von? I mean, what is their last name? Brother, is his first name or his last name D-Von? Because Terrence D-Von and Terrell D-Von does not sound like a good tag team name. The D-Vons sounds like a tag team in TNA that would probably dress up like penises. Not quite sure why, but that to me, that's what the D-Vons do. That's, so you know, the brothers D-Von, I guess, right? That sounds okay. The brothers D-Von. Maybe the D-Von boys? Or maybe they're just going to call them TNT. Wait, they've already got one of those. What if they teamed up with Tara and Tessmacher and became TNT and TNT? TNT and TNT. Boom. Man, I just made TNA so much money on t-shirts. Moving on. They came out, ran off Matt Morgan and Crimson. So you had the Sons getting involved there. Really, really a good promo followed by a really bad promo and a really bad follow-up. In the end, the tag team division in TNA is silly. It's silly. It's so bad. So then we got backstage James Storm coming in, shaking hands with some crew members. And let me just say this. James Storm has some of the best hair in professional wrestling. I want to know what kind of conditioner that dude uses. I want to put that on mine because that is a thick mane of goodness up there. Basically, James Storm should be quite proud of having what is quite possibly the best hair in professional wrestling. And yes, I do think he should get a Slammy for it. I know he doesn't even work for WWE. They need to mail that guy a Slammy. That's how good his hair is. So, then we got our second match of the night, and it was Mickie James defeating Madison Rain in 4 minutes and 3 seconds. This one ended with a Mickie James hitting her, I'm literally going to break your freaking neck, DDT, for the win. I don't know what was wrong with the chick kick, personally. That DDT frightens the hell out of me. But this was a pretty good, well-wrestled match. I was happy to see that. Mickie James looks motivated again, people. You know, I'm not just going to call it and be like, Mickie James is awesome again. But she's looking really good in the ring. She's getting it done. She's doing what she hasn't done for so long. And you've got a motivated opponent in Gail Kim. I'm psyched for their pay-per-view matchup, actually. But, so Mickie looks motivated. Madison Rain looked good here, too. I'm almost sad that Madison Rain is kind of the designated fall girl for Gail Kim. But such is life. I liked what Madison did in this match. Good action down the stretch. You know, not too long. It was a 4 or 5 minute match. But they wrestled well. And I was happy to see it. Backstage, Bully Ray and Scott Steiner were brainstorming on how to recruit Abyss. Talking about he must not have liked the girls. And Scott Steiner was like, man, those were my best girls! Those were his best girls. Then we got a video package. A freaking video package, man. On Gunnar and Garrett Bischoff. A video. They got a straight up video package. And if you're wondering where this was in quarter 5. This was at the top of the second hour. You're opening it up with Gunnar and Garrett. Yes, this does kind of upset me. Because Eric Bischoff's going to sit there and go, man, I see the minute by minutes. I know how good Gunnar is doing right now, and I, you know, those people who don't like him, they don't know. They don't know, man. But it's like, yeah, of course Gunnar's doing well. You're putting him in the highest rated quarter hour. And if you look this week, he was following a knockout segment. Knockouts are one of, if not the highest rated act in TNA. You put him in what is standard, the highest rated quarter hour. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think Garrett Bischoff is going to lose a lot of viewers? Yeah, maybe, but his rating's still going to be higher than, say, James Storm. Also, something that's bothering me about Garrett Bischoff. Could that dude not go and buy some wrestling tights? He's wrestling in, like, Dockers. homie is wrestling in Dockers and, like, referee shoes and not cool ones like Brian Hebner wears that match the ropes and make Jason Powell go off on fits of rage. Fits of rage, by the way, are normally exclusive to .NET members. Another perk for membership right there. But, no, he's wearing just, like, standard black shoes. He looks, literally, he looks like he works at a restaurant. He looks like a low-class server who tore his shirt, who tore his white button-down shirt off and is going to the wrestling ring. That's what Garrett Bischoff looks like to me. Plus, he's not a good wrestler. But this match, Garrett Bischoff defeated Gunnar in 1 minute and 12 seconds. It was a quick roll-up because that's what Garrett's good at. Then Gunnar assaulted Garrett after the match. Eric ran out, called Gunnar off before removing the floor mat and then having Gunnar give Garrett Bischoff a pile driver. So you got a little mini swerve there, and then you got that, and Garrett Bischoff went on to do the whole ambulance ride angle, and this was crap, guys. This was pretty bad. I just don't understand what the push of Garrett Bischoff is about. I understand Eric maybe going, I'd really like to push my son, but how is no one else in that company? How is Dixie Carter not going, well, your son's not getting over? That's an issue, man. You've got to get your son over if you want us to push him. You know, maybe I'm a little crazy face, but if Garrett Bischoff isn't over, he shouldn't be wrestling. Well, it's TNA and half their acts aren't over. But he gets the highest quarter hour ratings. I'll bet he does, because you put him in the highest rated quarter hour. The thing about Impact is that nothing, the knockouts do, but there aren't a lot of things when you look at the quarter hour ratings for TNA that move the needle. This has been proven. Like, their ratings pattern is the same week to week to week to week, almost no matter what they put in there. The knockouts are an exception most weeks. But you space it out and you go, yeah, but he's getting such great ratings. Well, yeah, but that's because everything gets about the same ratings. So you put him in what you know going in is going to be the highest rated segment. And yeah, he's going to get great ratings. This idea, this philosophy, this whole thing just kind of upsets me. Because you're going to push this dude based on the fact that he gets these ratings. But then you're going to put him in the segments that get these ratings. It'd be different if you put him in, you know, quarter hour seven, where things usually dip down, and suddenly quarter hour seven was jumping up, because then he brings viewers, he brings ratings, and he is a face that you want on your TV. But when you put him in quarter hour five, and you go, oh, Garrett Bischoff, this guy, look at the ratings he's getting. Someone in TNA should have noticed this trick by now. Hogan does it. Bischoff does it. Flair's done it. Now Bischoff is doing it for Little Bish. By the way, Little Bish, totally a cooler name than Garrett Bischoff. Let's just start calling him Little Bish, shall we? Ah, yeah, that Little Bish. Anyways, we move on to the segment of the night here. And this was James Storm and Kurt Angle. So we started off with a James Storm coming to the ring to his kick-ass, fantastic theme music. I know, I'm silly. I usually hate TNA's theme music, such as, you know, the hardcore country ditty for Mickey James. Hate that crap. Rob Van Dam's theme music, probably the worst in wrestling today. Off the chain, Bobby Roode. What does that even mean? But man, James Storm's music hits. I sang it in last week's audio. I'm not going to do it tonight. But that stuff rocks. It rocks hard. But we got James Storm calling out Kurt Angle. Angle came out to some of the worst theme music. Think about this, man. Kurt Angle, his theme music means nothing. Like, is WWE theme music? I haven't heard it since 2006, and I can still hum it to this day. The da-da, da-da, da-da. But what is his TNA theme music? Like, that's all I know of it, is those high-pitched squeals at the beginning, and then there's some random rap somewhere in there. And I'm a theme music machine. I love theme music, guys, if you couldn't tell. But James Storm, best theme music in TNA. Not best in the world, but best in TNA. And that's saying something. Really, it's not. It's not hard to be the best of the worst, but still, great theme music. Angle told Storm he was surprised he was back already, but Angle said he wouldn't be so lucky at Final Resolution. Angle talked about Storm taking time off and how he made a mistake by not ending it, and how he was going to end it for him at a Final Resolution, and Storm said he's not going to be psyched out by Angle. Storm cut a phenomenal promo. I'm talking about a promo that I would cut and paste exactly what he said and put it up against the Undertaker at going for 20-0. Like, I would just take that footage, you know, edit some WWE logos in, and just hire James Storm to fight Undertaker at WrestleMania, because it was that good of a promo to me. He sat there, and the reason I say Undertaker, you're about to find out if you didn't watch the show. James Storm sat there and cut a promo about how he's looked death in the face. Talked about his dog dying last week, his dad dying while he was young, his stepdad dying, his, you know, all, and he, but he said all of it, and it wasn't, like, depressing. He was saying it motivated you. You watched it, and you went, hell yeah, let's go! And that's a great babyface wrestling promo. He did what John Cena wishes he could do. And I like John Cena as a wrestler. I think on the mic, John Cena has some issues where he gets that fake passion behind him, and everyone knows it's fake. The arena goes along for the ride, but sitting there at home, you can't. But this was just some great, great work. I can't compliment James Storm enough on what he did with this promo. Phenomenal work. Just some really, really good stuff. And I want to thank James Storm for this promo. And Angle held up his end, too. And Storm said he wasn't intimidated Angle. And he said it's real. It's damn real. Great stuff. Backstage, we saw Karen Angle telling Gail Kim that Tracy was laying down for her in their match tonight. Then we saw D-Von backstage yelling at his boys. D-Von yells at his boys so freaking much. Then Pope showed up, and D-Von freaked out more. D-Von left the room, and Pope was like, hey, boys, it's gonna be cool. Man, you keep with me, you're gonna be great wrestlers. We're gonna go meet Tara and Tess Mocker. TNT and TNT, y'all. Okay, that part didn't happen, but it would have been awesome. Then we got Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles cutting a quick backstage promo about their match later in the night. Then we saw Gail Kim beating Tracy Brooks in 2 minutes and 8 seconds. Brooks laid down for a 2 count, then proceeded to kind of destroy Gail Kim. A Madison Rayne ran out, clocked Brooks with the Knockouts tag title, and Kim covered Tracy Brooks for the title. Tracy Brooks is not a babyface. Tracy Brooks is nothing. She's that chick who had sex with Eric Bischoff and is getting punished for it. Yep. Stay hot, TNA. Jeff Jarrett and Bobby Roode talked about how they were going to win the main event. You know, standard promo, just like we saw before. Then we got a really nice promo from Christopher Daniels talking about how he wanted a piece of Bob Van Dam and how he's tired of beating Bob Van Dam. By the way, the Bob Van Dam thing is genius. I'm such a big fan of that. It's unbelievable. And Daniels said, you know, we've done it all. We've had the gimmicks. How about you and I, Bob? We do it. Standard match. Do what we were trained to do. Just have a standard wrestling match. Which means, you know, Rob Van Dam's going to. He's going to be about to win. Daniels is going to use a weapon and probably get the win. If I could give you my TNA final resolution prediction right there. That's where I see that going. So, then the announcers ran down the card for final resolution. And I'm going to go through and preview the card at the end of this audio. But first, let me say, this is a really nice card. It's not perfect by any means, but you look at those top three matches on there. Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett in the cage. I know Hardy's a little limited because of his back injury right now, but that should be a hot match at least. It'll be fun. Then you've got James Storm versus Kurt Angle. If Angle's got his working shoes on and really is in the physical condition to work, that's going to be great. Plus, James Storm, if Storm is in the, Storm just, he's a good wrestler. He's not great. He's not the wrestler that Bobby Roode is, but he's got the charisma and he's in there with the right opponent. I think that this could be a great, and I mean great, pay-per-view match. Plus, if Angle is in the mood to do some business like Randy Orton has been lately, it could be a major moment for James Storm. And you've got the Iron Man match. AJ Styles against Robert Roode, and I'm interested to see them play around and use some tricks. I mean, when you saw Styles and Daniels at Destination X in a 30-minute match, you went, oh, they're going long. You can tell by the way that Styles is working right now. But they don't have to kind of ramp things up because they have the trick of, well, you have more than one pinfall. You have more than one submission. You have these disqualifications. The palette is a lot broader with an Iron Man match with the action you can use because suddenly you can bring the fans up to a peak early and drop them down and get them up to a peak and drop them down. And you know, then just don't drop them down as much. Get them higher and higher and higher. This show in any other arena to me would be a must-buy. If it were around me, I would buy a ticket and go. The problem is it's at the Impact Zone in Orlando, Florida, so those fans will probably make me regret watching the show. They just do that. Have you guys noticed that about the Impact Zone fans? They're terrible. Worst fans in wrestling right there, man. So, yeah, but the announcers ran down the final resolution card, and then we got AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy defeating Bobby Roode and Jeff Jarrett in 13:24. The end of this match came with a sudden pinfall. It was Styles rolling up Roode, getting the 1-2-3. Surprise! Then Roode attacked Styles after the match, dragged him over to ringside area, attacking a leg that they had injured during the match, and then brought him up to the stage and attacked him a little more. Then Roode, you know, basically said, you know, the old Shawn Michaels before WrestleMania 14 in Steve Austin's face, "This is mine, this will never be yours, this is as close as you're going to get," all of that crap to Styles, and dramatic music played at him as he did. Quick thought on that match. It's good. It was a solid tag team match. I like what they did. They gave you enough to make you want the pay-per-view, but they didn't give you so much that you were going to go, "Oh my God, I just saw these two matches. I don't need to order the pay-per-view." However, what they did do was end Impact with crappy dramatic music again. It's just bad. Like, at least when WWE tried to underscore Randy Orton's promos in 2009, it stopped after like 2 weeks, and they were just doing it with one guy for one reason. Like, it was a way to make him stand out. This dramatic Impact closing music happens for anyone, and it's just like, dum-bum-bum, dum-dum-bum, bump-da-dum-bum, Impact closing music. It's bad. It is so terrible, this closing music of TNA Impact. It makes the show a joke to me. When I, you know, I really want to enjoy and appreciate the show, but it makes it a bit of a joke, which is not good. And we actually, news in from .net, and actually the source of it is James Caldwell over at PW Torch. The rating is in for TNA Impact Wrestling, the show we're talking about right now. You will have already heard this, so bear with me as I say it anyways. But the show drew a 1.07 rating, down from the 1.16 the week before. But about the same amount of viewers, still 1.44 million viewers. So they're coasting in a way. That is what's happening. You know, something drew other people to their TVs, but it didn't really draw people away from this episode. So that's good. A few things I'm down on about this show. Where was the X Division, man? Where was the little go-home promo from Austin Aries and Kid Cash? They had a nice exchange the other week, and I was sad that they didn't get a little bit of a spotlight on this show, because that's a major match. Where, you know, what? Why was the tag team segment more important than that? I have to wonder, because I don't think anyone is predicting a title change, but with Aries and Cash, there could easily be one, or you should make people predict one. But let me pull up the old TNA Wrestling website on the iPad right now, and let's see if I can find the card to this pay-per-view, because sometimes that is a challenge. We're going to work our way up. I'll give you my predictions. Yep, is this it? I think it's the first story on their website. That's pretty cool, right? Ooh, look at you, Robert Roode, on that thing. So let's start from the bottom of the card. Robbie E., the television champion, defending against Eric Young. Why? Not EY, just why. Eric Young can be entertaining in small doses. Robbie E's the same way, but they're both comedy acts, and they're both carrying around a belt that no one really cares about. I'll pick Robbie E to retain this title. Moving on, you've got the X Division Championship match. And that is Austin Aries defending against Kid Cash. I'll pick Austin Aries to win it. I think the way you're using Austin Aries right now, you keep using him that way. This is going to be an odd heel versus heel matchup, but I think the fans in the Impact Zone will probably get on the side of Austin Aries. It'll depend on how the match has worked, but I think they're going to get on the side of Austin Aries, and I think it could be a really fun one. Also, I don't think this feud is over after this match, so look for something cheap with the finish. Then we get our tag team title match, and that's Matt Morgan and Crimson, the champions, against the Pope and Devon. I have no idea if the brothers Devon, the Devon boys, the DVZs will be out with them, but they'll probably get involved and cost Pope and Devon the match somehow, which will make Devon yell, because Devon yells a lot. So I'll pick Matt Morgan and Crimson on that one. Right now I'm picking all champions. Then we have our Knockouts Championship match, and I'm going to pick another champion. Also, quick thought. I'm looking at TNA's website right now. And once again, their formatting's crazy term. For the three title matches I just talked about, they list the champions first and put the word champions in parentheses next to them. And then on the Knockouts Championship match, the champion is listed second, and just a parentheses C is next to her name. Not champion, you know, I'm kind of weird about formatting, and I like it all to be consistent. One of the biggest things I do in my own profession is I just do a lot of paperwork, and it needs to look good. So I'm all about consistent formatting, and it really... Also, the C is before Gail Kim's name, not after it. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. And it's the same way with Bobby Roode's. So I just think that TNA's website team needs to stop being crazy town and look at the full product. God, their website is ugly. Anyways, Mickie James versus Gail Kim. Gail Kim is the champion, and I'll pick Kim to win it with a cheap finish. I think this is another one that continues through to Genesis, and you probably see the big moment from Mickie at Genesis, but I think you give Gail Kim another month, and you make Mickie James earn the shot again. Then we have a special challenge match, Christopher Daniels against Bob Van Dam, and I'll pick Daniels to win this one through cheatery. Yes, I'm calling it cheatery. Then we've got Kurt Angle against Cowboy James Storm. And this one is billed as the Olympic gold medalist versus the Cowboy. Are those naturally opposing forces? Do Cowboys hate Olympic gold medalists? Billing it as that is just kind of odd. But this is probably what I'm picking to be match of the night. It'll be fantastic. I hope Angle's doing business. I hope Storm is up to work a full match like this. And I really hope we get something solid out of it. For the winner, it can go one of two ways. We already know that Bobby Roode, or whoever's champion, probably Bobby Roode, will be facing probably Jeff Hardy. Not to give away my next two picks, but we already know that Roode's going to be facing Hardy next month at Genesis. So this match doesn't have number one contender implications. I think you let Angle kind of get his win back on Storm. You know, Angle went down to him in 90 seconds. Maybe you have Storm look like he's about to beat Angle. Have Angle get a cheap-tastic win off of him. Hit him with the medals or something classic like Kurt Angle would do. And then get the pin. And then next month you have Storm go over on Angle. And you can move into Angle, or you can move into Storm as your number one contender after that. That also gives you a little bit more time away from Roode versus Storm, which is good, because I think you save that. Really, I think you don't have that match until lockdown. It's a steel cage-worthy match already. You put those two in there, you don't blindfold them, you're going to be fine. Then we've got a steel cage match. Hey, look at that. And this is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett, versus the Charismatic Enigma, Jeff Hardy, with Karen Jarrett handcuffed to Sting at ringside. So you know Karen Jarrett is going to interfere somehow, probably through those goofy camera holes in TNA's cage that just say, "Hand a weapon through me, please." That was kind of a Jimmy Stewart voice for those keeping score at home. But that's what it sounds like to me. But you've got Jarrett versus Hardy here. I think Jeff Hardy wins it. If Jeff Hardy does win, he goes on to face Robert Roode, or the TNA champion, whoever it is, at Genesis. If Jeff Jarrett wins, Hardy's out of the company. Hardy wins, and this should end the feud. Then we've got the World Heavyweight Championship match, and this one is a 30-minute Iron Man match. Yes, I did pick Roode, or Storm versus Angle, for the match of the night. However, this match can be amazing. This match could be an all-time classic. They've got a lot of toys to play with here. AJ Styles and Robert Roode, two of the best in the business. They've got a lot of toys to play with. Their in-ring work is fantastic. The things I worry about with this match, that Impact Zone crowd, they're going to be burnt out at this point. And they're an easy crowd to burn out. They've seen it all. how do Rude and Styles keep them engaged? How does this 30-minute match work that where they stay into it without just having to chant the whole time, "This is awesome, we like wrestling, we are an indie crowd," and trying to seem cool? So I will pick Rude here, if you couldn't tell by me accidentally slipping and saying Rude next month constantly. Score-wise, I'll go with 4-3 for Rude. The fourth one will probably be got in some cheap manner, and one of Styles' falls will probably be off of a disqualification that also gains Rude a fall. That's what I'll go with. But yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Like I said, there's a special interview coming up from Chris Shore on the .NET members site. I believe it's going to be posted Sunday that you're not going to want to miss. Plus, of course, all sorts of other awesomeness from the .NET members side of things. And I may even have some audio here pretty soon talking about PWG, because the current plan, if it doesn't change between now and tomorrow night, is for me to go to a PWG's holiday show, or, you know, PWG's show that features some pretty great, really the best tag team action you're going to get in this country. Ring of Honor can say what they want, but PWG is the place that highlights tag team wrestling more than any other company. So look forward to that. There's going to be some content from me on that in the next week if plans don't change. Plus more, you know, we're prowrestling.net. We get it done. So thank you guys for listening. Thank you to the .NET members listening for checking this out and for your support. Thank you for the others, the future .NET members, hopefully, that are listening, for, you know, listening. Have a good day, folks.